your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Yeah, we've made it to the end of the week, baby. Been talking a lot of mock drafts so far this week because, well, it is mock draft season. Matter of fact, the NFL draft is less than a month away, and the Raiders will be on the clock sooner than you know it. So I've been talking a lot of mock drafts on the show throughout the week, and you know it's going to continue really up until the draft. Now, there's going to be other things we'll talk about, but there's definitely going to be a lot of draft, a lot of speculation in between now and then. So coming up on today's show, I will have to say before we even get into today's show, man, I'm a little disappointed that yesterday was the opening day. It was supposed to be opening day for baseball, and it didn't happen. And I know this is the Locked On Raiders podcast, but I do have a soft spot in my heart for baseball, especially opening day, especially just checking out, you know, the very first day of baseball and seeing all the guys out there on the field doing what they do and, you know, having a day game. And it's really a special time. And so for them not to be able to do that because of what's going on in the world with the coronavirus and all that, really disappointing. But again, I mean, it is what it is. Everyone's going through it. But just another setback. We had the NCAA tournament not too long ago. Now, all of a sudden, Major League Baseball pushed back as well. And who knows what's going to happen with football? We will still find out. But coming up on today's show, segment number three, your calls and texts straight off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Got a bunch of them. I'm going to try to get to as many as possible. The number is 707-654-4693. Again, the number is 707-654-4693. Segment number two, I'm going to talk about, well, it's going to be NFL draft related. It's going to be mock draft related for what the Raiders could do. But really, I'm going to concentrate on, do I want to go defense? Do I want to go offense? And I've had this debate before on the podcast, but because of a stat that I'm going to bring to you later on here in segment number one, I kind of want to revisit it and talk about it again because I've been back and forth. Everyone knows that I've been talking about, should the Raiders go and get two offensive playmakers in round one? Should they get one guy and then a linebacker? Should they go and get a defensive back? What should they do with their two first round picks? Well, a stat I have coming up later on this segment is going to tell you all you need to know about the Raiders defense since they were in the Super Bowl, in Super Bowl 37. Going to talk about that and talk about the need for some real deal defense. Got a direct message on Twitter. I got that tweet I'm going to have at the end of segment number two as well. And then here in segment number one, as I always do each and every day, give you the news and the notes of the day around the Raiders, around the NFL, and more. So let's go ahead and jump into that right now. Off top, been talking about the NFL draft. Matter of fact, been talking about it for quite a while. I told you I had my plane booked already. I already had the dates already locked out at the job. April 21st to the 26th, I plan on being in Sin City in Las Vegas. Obviously, that's not going to happen because as we all know, fans are not allowed to be at the draft, and the draft is not actually going to physically take place in Vegas. So that plane trip means nothing to me. I'll just have to go back and get some credit, I guess. But the NFL Management Council Executive Committee, they have discussed issues related to the draft on Thursday, and with a unanimous and unequivocal, and that's how they said it, the draft should go forward as scheduled on April 23rd through 25th, Commissioner Roger Goodell told clubs in a memo on Thursday night. The show will go on as scheduled. And that's the thing you got to think about. Facilities, all club facilities are closed until at least April 8th. That's when the NFL is going to go back and look at it again. And then the draft starts 15 days later. So basically what the commissioner is telling, and he wrote a big long memo, not a big long memo, but about a page and a half, basically letting the GMs and other executives know that, hey man, you've got to go ahead and figure out exactly where you're going to conduct the draft from, where you're going to be. You might have to be in your own living room, but either way you go through, it's going to happen April 23rd through the 25th. Again, it's not going to be in Vegas. They've still got a lot of things going on, but very well, man, Mike Mayock and John Gruden might be in in their own living room going through the draft process. And it's still one of those situations that aren't 100% set in stone because, again, facilities open up on April 8th or when they're supposed to open up on April 8th. When the NFL goes and reassesses it, maybe this is at a situation where it's even worse than before. And then you think, okay, well, there's no way you could do it. Or maybe it's a lot better. And so then they say, yeah, okay, we're good to go. And maybe teams are allowed to go ahead and jump into their facilities and do things. But it's a fluid situation. But what we do know is that the NFL is saying, yep, April 23rd through 25th, the NFL draft will take place. I did want to tell you real quick about a signing. That's right. The Raiders signed another player. And guess what? He comes by way of the Dallas Cowboys. Shocking, right? No, not so much. Defensive tackle Daniel Ross has agreed to a contract with the Raiders. And look, Daniel Ross is not something to get excited about, not something to get, you know, over the moon about and think that he's going to be some big-time contributor. Who knows? I know that Daniel Ross did not play for the Dallas Cowboys in 2019. He was out all season with a shoulder injury, so maybe he's a guy who can compete for a spot in training camp and be a player for the team. Who knows? Clearly, he's familiar with Rod Marinelli, and that's what makes him attractive for the Raiders. And I'm sure that this is another guy that Rod Marinelli said, hey, look, I want you to bring him in. And so they brought him in. So, yeah, Daniel Ross, formerly a member of the Dallas Cowboys, is now a member of the Silver and Black. He actually got signed late on Thursday evening. And so, again, we'll see exactly what he could do. But, I mean, he's just be a rotational piece if he makes a team. He's a guy that's going to have to compete for a position, though, in training camp. Next piece of news, the Raiders on Hard Knocks were nominated for an Emmy. Raiders on Hard Knocks was nominated for an Emmy. And I've said it many times, and some of you that are new booties probably have no idea, but I had never watched Hard Knocks until this past offseason. Until this past training camp when the Raiders were featured on it. So it's not a show that I always watch, but it's a show that a lot of NFL fans clearly watch and a lot of people in general lock in. People that aren't even really big NFL fans but just want to see the reality show type setting, they tune in. And so it's been nominated, whatever team it's been, has been nominated a bunch. As a matter of fact, it's won at least one Sports Emmy every single year the series has aired since 2008. And I'm not going to lie, I wasn't even a big fan of the Hard Knocks with the Raiders on it. I mean, I really wasn't. I think it was episode 2 where John Gruden got super angry. And I believe I did a podcast following it saying, there's Chucky. That's the Chucky that I want to see. He got super angry. I think it was episode number 2. That was a really good one. After that, I feel like it kind of peaked at number 2 and it just went down and down and down after that. Was not a big fan of it. Thought it was a lot of too much kumbaya stuff for me. And hey, there's nothing wrong with kumbaya, but it just wasn't my style. It wasn't my cup of tea. But again, some folks liked it. I didn't love it. But again, I wanted to just bring it to the table and let you know that the episode Hard Knocks Raiders was nominated for an Emmy. And they're going to win something. They always do. Matter of fact, HBO was nominated for 16 Emmys on the 41st Annual Sports Emmy Awards. And we're going to find out who wins at some other date. It was supposed to be scheduled for April 28th, but it's been postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, the draft ain't postponed. The draft that's 23rd through the 25th, that's not postponed. But finding out who won an award that's supposed to be scheduled for the 28th, that's been postponed. Just going to go ahead and leave that right there where it is. Now, there's been a lot of conversation about Marcus Mariota being a backup quarterback with the Raiders and what that means. And there's been a lot of talk about the contract that he received. And is he going to beat out Derek Carr? Is he just going to push Derek Carr? Marcus Mariota was on a TV station in Honolulu, and he was saying that it was Derek Carr's team. I brought that to the podcast on yesterday's show. Well, MJ Acosta, who covers the Raiders and the 49ers, actually she covers the whole league, but she really covers the Raiders and the 49ers for NFL Network. She shared her thoughts on the quarterback room, what Derek Carr and Marcus Mariota, what they mean being together in that room. Here she is.
What's up, everybody? MJ Acosta here. As the Las Vegas Raiders continue to put their pieces in place, everyone wants to know what's going on in the quarterback room. Well, because of social distancing, we won't actually know for some time, but we know that newly acquired quarterback Marcus Mariota is taking on his new role with the right attitude. He said, quote, "First and foremost, this is Derek's team." And here's why I don't think that's just lip service. Mariota had a perfect example of this in Tennessee when he was the starting quarterback and Ryan Tannehill came in. So we can certainly draw some parallels between Mariota and Tannehill. Both spent their entire career with the same team before being picked up as a presumptive QB2. Both first-round picks in their respective drafts, and both entered their new roles with humility and understanding that the current QB is running the show. The rest of the similarities, if any, yet to be determined, but I do know this. In the years I've spent covering the Raiders, there has been no player more accountable or candid than Derek Carr. And despite the 7-9 finish last season, Carr set career highs in passing yards and completion percentage, and that was with a top-tier superstar running back in Josh Jacobs, who rushed for over 1,100 yards. So Mariota is certainly coming into this with the right attitude, but by all accounts, right now, the Raiders have two high-character QBs who want to prove what they can offer to the franchise, a franchise that's starting anew in Sin City. And that right there makes for great competition and great football.
So there's MJ Acosta right there from NFL Network talking about Derek Carr, talking about Marcus Mariota, talking about that quarterback room and the fact that she believes Marcus is genuine when he says, hey, this is Derek Carr's team, but at the same time lets it be known that there's going to be some competition. I think that that's the feeling I've had the whole time. I think a lot of Raider Nation has that feeling, but there is a pocket, and I've seen it, and I know Twitter's not the end-all be-all, but there is a pocket of folks that believe that by the time the first game of the season, whenever that's going to be played, Marcus Mariota will be under center. He'll be the starting quarterback. I don't believe that, especially with what's going on with the pandemic of the coronavirus, the fact that, you know, that he's basically going to be behind the eight ball. Derek Carr has not only 2 years of working and playing under John Gruden's system, but he knows it like a glove, and he can work on it all he wants while he's away from the facility, where Marcus Mariota is just still kind of dipping his toes into it. So he's at a disadvantage. I think he's going to come in and play a major role at some point in the season. Not saying it's going to be the starting quarterback role, but I think he's going to help out, even if it's nothing more, and I've said this multiple times, even if it's nothing more than just push Derek Carr and make him be just a little bit better, if you know what I mean. My final little piece of news and note actually came from a tweet, and I just wanted to go ahead and pass this information about the defense along. And this tweet actually comes from Luke Straub on Twitter, at Luke J. Straub. That's Straub. Want to definitely give him credit for this because I found it to be pretty sticking interesting. I mean, interesting enough to bring to the podcast, right? So check this out. The Raiders defense has been basically awful since Super Bowl 37, and this is why. Raiders defense in Super Bowl 37, season of 02, the defense was 6th best in points allowed and 11th in yards allowed. That was really good. That was the year they went to the Super Bowl. We all know what happened in the Super Bowl, but that was the year there. Since 02, the Raiders D was top 10 in either category just once. And again, the categories are points allowed and yards allowed. So the Raiders D was top 10 in either category just once. In 2006, the team was number 3 in yards, but still went 2-14. That's per Pro Football Reference. Then, during Derek Carr's tenure, Raiders defense is ranked better than number 20th in either category. Again, the categories being points allowed and yards allowed. The Raiders have ranked better than number 20 in either category just once, finishing at 19 in yards allowed last year, 2019. So what that's telling you is they're giving up a lot of points and they're giving up a lot of yards, and they've been doing it since they were in the Super Bowl in 2002. That's a really, really long time. And then the one time that they were good in yards allowed was in 2006, and they still ended up going 2-14. That was a very painful season. I remember it like it was yesterday, even though I'd like to forget it. So again, I've been talking a lot about the NFL draft and what the Raiders should do and what they should do with their first 5 picks. There's been a lot of speculation. So we're going to talk about the Raiders' first round picks in segment number 2. We're going to talk about the need for defense in segment number 2 and who maybe they should get and why they should get them, even though they've addressed their defense in free agency. So we're going to talk about all that here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about Homie, and I'm not talking about my homie. I'm not talking about Lil Homie, which you probably don't even know. Lil Homie's my turtle at the house. He's dope. Anyway, I'm not talking about Lil Homie. I'm talking about Homie. And if you're riding around Vegas, I talked about billboards. Well, Homie's got a bunch of billboards all around town in Vegas. They're real bright. You can't miss them, and it is all about homes. Matter of fact, let me just cut to the chase. Right now, my friends at Homie, they're stepping up. They're offering a special promo to all Locked On Raider podcast listeners. You'll get $250 off your listing fee if you just text Raiders to 88588. That's $250 off your listing fee. Text Raiders to 88588. Now that I got your attention, let me get back to what Homie actually does. If you check out homie.com, which is their website, you can see all the great things that they do and help you do and how they can help you save thousands. If you're trying to sell your home, if you're buying any home, if you need a loan, they got you. Homie was founded with the belief that the use of modern technology and the expertise of licensed professionals is the way of real estate in the future. Their goal is to save each every customer thousands on their real estate transaction while simplifying the process. So again, for more information, definitely hit up homie.com. That is their website. For all Locked On Raider podcast listeners, you can get $250 off your listing fee. Just text Raiders to 88588. That's $250 off your listing fee. Text Raiders to 88588 for more information.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, here we are, Raider Nation. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and your texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. I got a tweet, a direct message I'm going to play at the end of this, or I'm going to read at the end of this segment because I don't think it'll fit in segment number three, and I definitely want to get to it. If you ever send me a direct message, I want to really bring it to the show, at your boy Q254 on Twitter. Again, that's at your boy Q254. But been talking a lot about the NFL draft. Almost every show this week has been about mock drafts, NFL drafts, who the Raiders should address at number 12, who they should look at number 19, and all that good stuff. And look, I just rattle off a defensive stats at the end of segment number one that kind of lets you know that the Raiders need to step it up defensively. And look, I'm not breaking any news. This is not something that Raider fans weren't already aware of. If you watch the team for more than a couple seasons, you know that their Achilles heel is their defense, right? And it really has been. And John Gruden is not a defensive-minded head coach. He's an offensive-minded head coach. So you know he's going to want to really make that offense that much better. And look, the greedy guy in me says, go get a couple wide receivers. Go get some weapons to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. Go, 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 go. You already addressed the defense during free agency. That's the greedy guy in me. That's the guy that wants to see the explosive numbers. That's the guy that wants to see, you know, video game type numbers. But I don't realistically believe that that's what it's going to be, and I don't realistically believe that that's what John Gruden wants. I think that he wants to do what he's been doing, slow it down. Yeah, he can get a little bit more creative if he has a little bit better deep guys on offense, but ultimately, he wants to slow it down. He wants to have a great running attack. He wants to be able to pick and choose his spots, and you know, he wants to be able to just dominate the clock and win games, and I'm okay with that. I don't really care how you win games, but I think we all know that this defense needs to be addressed in a major way. Corey Littleton, great signing. Nick Kukowski, great signing. I mean, making that linebacking room better, way better. Eli Apple, I'm still on the fence with him, but he's on a one-year deal. Maybe he'll go out there and compete and do his thing. Who knows? I'm really excited about Malik Collins, the defensive tackle that they picked up from the Cowboys. Very excited about that. Jeff Heath, well, he's a special teams guy, but he can contribute at the safety position if need be. He's a guy who's always around the ball. So, okay, fine. I feel like that's been upgraded in a major way. Would still like to see the Raiders add a couple pieces by way of the NFL draft. And look, again, I want to go back to the first round of the draft. At number 12, I think it's no doubt about it that they go and get a dynamic wide receiver. I think that it would almost be insane if they don't do that. But at 19, I feel like it's really wide open, like some old school TV antennas. I think the options are there. You can go with a wide receiver if you want to, if you want to be a little greedy. I don't think the Raiders do that. I mean, really, I don't. I've gone back and forth. I've lost sleep over it. I've tossed and turned at bed at night, and the wife is like, go to bed. Go to bed. Don't worry about the draft, dummy. It's like another month away. I'm telling you, this is how much the draft is like on my mind that I can't sleep at night sometimes. And so the wife has to hit me with the elbow, and she might be short, but she got these sharp elbows, man, and they do hurt, and they do make me go to sleep. I think either I go to sleep or she knocks me out. Either way, it's all bad. But my point is, I just that's how much the draft has been on my mind that it causes me to lose sleep at night. And so I just wrestled back and forth and haven't decided what I really want and who I really want to see the Raiders go get. I think that the Raiders are going to go get linebacker Kenneth Murray. I really, really do at 19, just because I think that that's a Gruden guy. You know, and that's really Gruden and Mayock. I think that that's who that is. So that's kind of like the guy that I'm going to throw out there and say they're probably going to pick him at 19 if he's available. But let's just talk about the defense and what we've been seeing. The Raiders in 2019 gave up about 26 points a game. And I talked about it during the regular season, during the playoff run when the Tennessee Titans, when they were doing their thing, I told you that, look, they have a very similar recipe as the Raiders do to winning games. They run the ball, take shots when they can. The only thing different is they give up about 6 points less per game than the Raiders do. Less than one touchdown. And that made them a playoff team, whereas the Raiders didn't make the playoffs. The Raiders ended up 7-9. So think about this. Let me take that a step further. The Kansas City Chiefs, and we know that they have a high-flying offense, right? Just unbelievable offense. It's just insane. I mean, they got weapons all over the field. Patrick Mahomes could do anything he wants to do. I mean, it's just crazy to watch, right? It's like a video game. It's like playing a 7-on-7 tournament almost. But either way you look at it, they only give up 19, or they gave up in 2019, they gave up 19.3 points per game. So basically, just about 19 points a game. If you want to go on the high side, 20. Less than 3 touchdowns a game they gave up. The San Francisco 49ers, who we talked about being such a strong defense and having that defense, and man, that defense is going to clamp down the Kansas City Chiefs, they actually gave up 19.4 points per game in 2019. So they actually gave up more points altogether on average than the Kansas City Chiefs did. And Kansas City is a team that, including myself, I talked about all the time as, well, their defense isn't very good. Their defense isn't very good because they give up a lot of yards. But the one thing that they don't give up is a lot of points. And that's what really matters. In today's day and age, when it comes to football and the way that the field is all spread out and these teams are spreading it out like they do in college, you're going to give up a lot of yards. The point is, when you get down into the red zone, can you stop teams from getting touchdowns and making them settle for field goals? The Raiders, they had no problem moving the ball, right? They had plenty of yardage that they would pick up between the 20s. But when you got down into the red zone, they would settle for more field goals and they would get touchdowns, and that's why they were coming up on the short end of the stick. They went 7-9 in 2019, and they were giving up 26 points per game. If you shave off a touchdown, just one touchdown, Raider Nation, where are you at? Where are you in the playoffs? You have an opportunity to really make a run. If you can find a way to shave off one touchdown per game, that's all I'm asking, is one stinking touchdown. The one time that Kansas City is driving down the field, you make them settle for a field goal instead of a touchdown, maybe even twice a game. You know, hey, just settle for a field goal twice. Buckle up when it gets down to the red zone. Again, I don't care if you give up 400 yards a game. I don't really care about the yards because it's a different day and age now. If you can make them settle, and any team, I'm just using Kansas City as an example. If you can make them settle for a field goal a couple times a game instead of getting a touchdown, you're cooking with grease. You got an opportunity to win that game each and every single time. And look, in the AFC West, which is all that matters, I mean, you could talk playoffs, you could talk Super Bowl, you could talk whatever you want to do. You could talk about all the teams in the AFC all you want. Only thing that matters when you head into a season is your division. You need to win your division or at least be very, very good in your division so you have that opportunity to make the playoffs. So right now, what the Raiders need to be focused on is their division. Kansas City has an awesome offense. We know that. The Denver Broncos, do not get caught slipping in 2020 on the Broncos. I think they're going to be sneaky good. I think they have a lot of good weapons. They got their quarterback of the future now in Drew Locke. I think they're very happy with him. Cortland Sutton is the wide receiver out of SMU. He's still there. Obviously, Emmanuel Sanders is gone. He matter of fact, was in the Super Bowl last year with San Francisco. Now he went to New Orleans. He's playing with the Saints. Now they're going to obviously go and pick up a wide receiver. Everyone, including myself, thinks it's going to be Henry Ruggs. They're going to pick him at number 15 or maybe even trade up to get a wide receiver so they can complement Cortland Sutton, who's a big, tall wide receiver. He's a dude. They also have Philip Lindsay, the running back. He's really, really good. Oh, they just went and picked up Melvin Gordon during free agency. He's a compliment back. I mean, so those are two guys that can carry the rock. They picked up Noah Fant during the draft last year. He's only going to get better as a tight end. I mean, they've got some weapons. And, oh, don't get caught slipping because Vic Fangio is their head coach. He is a defensive-minded guy. So if the offense takes care of itself, he could bunker down and he could really concentrate defensively. And they still got dogs on defense. Yeah, they lost Chris Harris Jr. Yeah, Von Miller's getting a little bit older. I get it. But they still got some dudes defensively. So I think Denver is going to be sneaky good in 2020. The Chargers, I have no idea. Not going to lie. Not going to try to break it down and say they're going to be really good. They have a new quarterback now. Tyrod Taylor is going to be the guy unless somehow they get Cam Newton or go and get a guy, Justin Herbert, in the draft and let him start. From what I think and from where we are right now, they have Tyrod Taylor as their quarterback. I don't believe in him a lot, but I know he can keep plays alive with his legs. I know that for a fact, and he has his moments where he's good. They have Hunter Henry. They franchise tagged him. Obviously, they still got Keenan Allen. I mean, they got some weapons as well. You know, Eckler, the running back, they just gave him a contract extension. He's going to be the workhorse now. He's going to be the guy expected to do everything. And look, he did a lot last year anyway. You know, when Melvin Gordon was sitting out and Melvin Gordon wasn't the dude anyway, Eckler was already in there doing his thing. So, they have the ability to be a really good offense. I just don't know what to believe from the Chargers. But Kansas City, I think we all know who they're going to be. And Denver, I think they're going to be sneaky good. So with that being said, as much as the Raiders have addressed the defensive side of the ball so far in free agency, they've done a really, really good job. I've been very pleased with what I've seen. I definitely think they need to continue to address that. And I'm saying at number 12, they're going to get a wide receiver. They're going to get Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, or Henry Ruggs, whoever they find fit. But if for any chance, if any slight possibility chance that Jeffrey Okuda or Isaiah Simmons falls close enough to maybe jump up a couple spots and go get him. Maybe if they drop down to a 9 spot, a 10 spot, maybe the Raiders jump up. I'm not a fan of trading up, but if they fall to 9 or 10, then I think I would be on board with, okay, go get those guys defensively because they could be absolute monsters. Isaiah Simmons, I think, is going to be a hell of a player for years to come. I mean, I really, really do. He could play so many different positions defensively, probably like 9 different positions on the defense he could play. No doubt about it. And Jeffrey Okuda is going to be a lockdown corner. Okay, my Google just told me it looks like there's a problem. I don't know what she's talking about, but that wasn't very nice because I was in the middle of talking. But it's okay. We'll figure that out later. We'll figure out whatever problem she has going on with her. But either way, if Jeffrey Okuda's there and Isaiah Simmons is there, I can see the Raiders trying to make a move and trading up. Outside of that, I think that they get a wide receiver at number 12. But at 19, I think a linebacker is still on the board. I think you can get Kenneth Murray, maybe even Patrick Queen. Maybe Patrick Queen could complement Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski. Maybe he could do that. You know, maybe that would be a good fit. Maybe a defensive back at that point would be good. You know, if you're going to go get a Christian Fulton or C.J. Henderson maybe or A.J. Terrell, I'd rather them go get A.J. Terrell, the man out of Clemson. I'd rather them go get him. I think he's really good. He had one bad game that happened to be, well, the national championship game, so everyone remembers it. But I think A.J. Terrell out of Clemson is really, really good. And we all know how the Raiders like their Clemson guys, right? I wouldn't be mad if they went and got a guy like that. If there was a Javon Kinlaw, maybe if Javon Kinlaw just happened to fall to them at 19, I don't think he'd be there. I don't think he gets past 17 with the Cowboys. But if Kinlaw's there, maybe it's a guy that they think about going again. I don't know. If they were to get a defensive guy at 19, I don't think I'd be mad at that because I think one of the ultimate goals that the Raiders need to try to do for 2020, what they must do in 2020, just like they had to shave down. Remember when everyone was angry at Tom Cable and said that he was a terrible offensive line coach? And I said that too because I was not a Tom Cable guy at all. He did a good job in 2019 after picking up Trent Brown, bringing in Richie Incognito, you know, getting some good depth pieces that came in and filled in for Gabe Jackson really well. They cut down the amount of times that Derek Carr got sacked in a major way, right? It was like 50-something in 2018. It was down to 20-something in 2019. That's a major step in the right direction. That's what the defense needs to do now. They need to take a major step in the right direction. You know, they had moments. They had moments where they were good. Max Crosby was nice. Cleve Farrell needs to step up. That interior push needs to be a lot better. The defensive backs need to play a lot better. Trayvon Mullen, now that he's had his toes in the water, now he's got to go swim. You know, he can't play in the shallow end no more. Now he's got to swim in the deep end. He's got to be the lead dog. Jonathan Abram, he can't just talk a good talk. He's got to play more than one game on the back end. I mean, seriously, everyone's a big fan of Jonathan Abram. He's played one game. And I'm not hating on him because I like him. I just want to see him in action. I want to hear less of him and see more of him. Now, he could talk all the talk he wants once he's on the field doing his thing. If he's playing a whole 16-game season, good. Talk all the mess you want. But let's talk that mess while you're on the field. That's what I want to see. You know, again, I think he's going to be a heck of a player, but he ain't going to do no good if he's standing next to John Gruden. So there's guys that need to step up in a major way. All eyes are on Paul Gunther. Can he get it done? I do believe he can get it done in 2020. They have got to make sure that they cut down that 26 points per game that they gave up in 2019, get it down to about 19 to 20 points. You get it down to 19 or 20, then you're doing what I like to say all the time. You're cooking with grease. And you're taking that 7-9 record that you had in 2019, and you're at least flipping it to 9-7, if not 10-6. I mean, it's just that simple. It's really just that simple. As much as I want to be greedy and just say, hey, you know, go fight the Kansas City Chiefs, go mano a mano and strength on strength and power on power. And if you got this speedster, we have this speedster. You know what I mean? As much as I want to say that as a fan, I think that the best idea would be to continue to address that defense and make that defense stronger, stronger, stronger. If you get young dudes in the draft that could play, you could have them for a while. It won't be a one-year thing. You could have them for multiple years. You could develop them. You could get them really good. You can continue to get them really good. You can never have too many defensive linemen. You can never have too many good corners. If one guy wants to leave by way of free agency and he wants too much money, you could feel confident letting him go because you got another dog coming up right behind him. So you got to go defense, Raider Nation. You really got to do it. As much as, again, it would be cute to see a video game out there and see all those huge numbers like Kansas City puts up, you got to find a way to stop them from scoring. You got to keep them out of the end zone. Bottom line, make them settle for field goals, not score touchdowns. And that's what it is. Coming up in segment number 3, your thoughts, your calls, your texts. Matter of fact, I said I had a tweet I was going to talk about at the end of this segment. I ran out of time. I'll use that tweet. I'll say that tweet at the top of segment number 3, and then we'll get to calls and texts. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team
every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are jumping into segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls, your thoughts, your texts, your tweets. Going to start this segment off actually with a tweet straight off my direct messages at your boy Q254. You can hit me up anytime. This tweet says, "What up, Q? How you doing, brother? Hope everything is well, especially with all this craziness in the world. Real quick, what do you think about the Raiders giving the Texans a call and offering them Carr and a first-round pick for Watson? Let me know your thoughts. And also, I want to give a shout-out to my cousins Mikey the Barber and Manuel Unlimited. Stay safe out there, Q, and thank you for everything you do." That was from Raul Salinas in the 916. And, yeah, he's cousins with Mikey the Barber, my guy. Matter of fact, Mikey the Barber's got a call coming up in this segment as well. And it's funny, man. I had a couple people hit me up asking me about this, about Deshaun Watson, if the Texans would be willing to trade him, go offer him a first, offer him Carr, offer him a couple firsts for Deshaun Watson. And look, people hit me up when DeAndre Hopkins was on the trade block, and I said, there's no way that they would do that. So I'm pretty much doubling down and saying that there's no way that the Texans would come off of Deshaun Watson. I mean, that dude is, one, a natural-born winner. He is a city of Houston. I mean, he represents the city really, really well. Billy O'Brien, man, he's already hated by so many Texans fans. They'd kill that dude. I will say, I know he's been putting out some cryptic tweets, and I know he's probably upset that his number one wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, is gone. This is what I'll do. I talk to John McClain every single Friday. He's from the Houston Chronicle, covers the Texans. He's been covering the NFL like a glove. He's a Hall of Fame voter, a Hall of Fame writer. I talk about him all the time. He's my real good buddy. I'll talk to him at 12:30 Central Time on ESPN Central Texas. Two things here. One, you can listen if you want to. You can hit up, you can download the ESPN Central Texas, actually it's Centex Sports Fan app in your app store. You can download that and you can listen at 12:30 Central if you want and hear what he has to say firsthand. I'll basically ask him straight up, you know, Deshaun Watson probably is not very happy with DeAndre Hopkins being gone, but, and he's been putting out some cryptic tweets. There's no chance on this earth that he gets traded, right? And then we'll see what John McClain has to say. And I'm pretty sure I can answer for him and say, no, there's absolutely no chance. But we'll see. I'll ask him a little bit later on today. And at the very least, I'll bring it to the table on Monday's show. Next up, we got a call from Army Raider. He's calling in with his 3-round mock draft. Not as detailed as Weapon X from earlier this week, but still drops the 5 picks the Raiders have in the first 3 rounds. Here he is, Army Raider.
What's up, Q? It's your boy, Army Raider. Sitting here, bored out of my mind, everything being shut, me having a couple days off. So I figured I'd give my own little 3-round Raiders-centric mock draft to go in with everybody else's. Start off by saying these aren't my dream players. This is just realistic fit needs, get better. So in the first round, at number 12, I got us taking Jerry Jeudy. I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. Dude's a stud. Raiders need a stud at the position. At number 19, I got him going with Jordan Love. Now, I'd also love to see us move back later in the first, get a second, and take Hurts with one of those picks, and then fill another position of need. But realistically, without trades right now, I think Jordan Love's the more possible situation at that 19th pick. Now, with our first pick in the third round, I got us taking your boy Jeremy Chinn. I also feel that just fits a position of need. With the second pick, I got him taking Josh Uche, edge out of Michigan. I feel he could be a little more than an edge at the NFL level. The dude who was criminally underused at Michigan. And, he kind of popped on my radar at the Senior Bowl, where his knock originally was they didn't know how he'd do in coverage, and he ended up being the best linebacker in coverage at the Senior Bowl on his team, as well as could not be stopped on the edge. And the dude just gets sacks, what he does. I'd also, with the last pick of the third, I see us taking Darrell Williams, offensive guard from Mississippi State. I believe that's his name. Kid's just a good, solid guard, and with our guards getting older, and some, I think, going to get released soon, I think that would be a good pick there. Love to hear your thoughts on that. Like I said, there's dream picks that are better in each situation, but that's a realistic, honest-to-God possible situation. I'll shut the hell up, and as always, Go Raiders.
Thank you, my man, for that call. Appreciate you. Had wide receiver Jerry Jeudy at 12, quarterback Jordan Love at 19, safety Jeremy Chinn at 80, edge Josh Uche at 81, offensive guard Darrell Williams at 91. Solid five picks. Honestly, that's a real solid five picks for the Raiders. I'm really starting to wonder if Jordan Love is a possibility at 19. After hearing Kiper talk about him, I've seen his stock go up so much. I've heard a lot of people talking about him possibly at 19. I'm starting to wonder, really, if there's a real strong possibility of Jordan Love at 19. I'm not picking him there, but I'm not picking him at all, actually. But who knows? Maybe the Raiders are excited about him. And again, that was a solid five picks. Thank you so much for that. Next up is a text. Hey, Q, have a couple. Hey, Q, I have a couple trade scenarios. Vikings trade up from 22 or 25 to 19. They would jump the Eagles and maybe Jags for wide receiver. I used PFN Mock Simulator and looked at the trade value chart. We could package 19 with one of the third round picks and get 22 and 58, or just 19 and get 25, 89, and maybe a late round. Also, if Raiders do trade back to 22 and Love is still on the board, call the Colts and see if they want to trade 34 and 75 so they get in front of the Pats for Love. Thank you for the great podcast and all the hard work you put in. That's Mario in Indiana, originally from the San Fernando Valley. Thank you so much for that, my man. I get what you're trying to do here. You're trying to move and shake around in the first round to get into the second round, still possibly jockey and get the players that the Raiders are looking for, but just kind of picking up a couple more draft picks. If I'm following this the way that I'm reading it, I feel like you're just trying to pick up some extra picks, and again, particularly in the second round. I think when it comes to trades and trading back, if you were looking for a trade, you just have to hope that a team is calling you. I don't think it's about who you're calling, because then they know that you're trying to get out of that spot. I think you just have to hope that that phone rings. But I understand what you're doing and collecting those picks. You just got to do something good with it. And I do think Mike Mayock and company will do some good with it. Thank you so much for that text. I appreciate you. Next up, told you that my man Mikey the Barber was calling, right? Yeah, he did. He calls to speak on what he heard from Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft 3.0 and his conference call, and then lets me know if he's cutting hair or not with all the things shut down in Cali. Here he is. This is my guy, Mikey the Barber in the 916.
Q, what up, man? It's Mikey the Barber. Hey, man, I just listened to, you know, those picks that Mel Kiper Jr. did for his mock draft 3.0, and I have to say, Mel Kiper Jr.'s an asshole. Dude, those picks were trash, man. I know for a fact that's not going to happen, because Mel Kiper Jr. is still doing his mock drafts, and RGM used to do mock drafts, and he's now a GM. So there's that. So, yeah, we'll just leave it to the professionals, man. We'll leave it to the guys that know what the hell they're talking about. Anyways, Raider Nation, peace out. Hey, man, I forgot to answer your question, man. Yeah, I'm at home, man. I'm quarantined. I'm doing a quarantine cuts, bro. I just, you know, mask up, glove up, you know, trying to keep things real professional, real clean. You know, cleanliness is close to godliness. Anyways, man, enjoy your week, man, and keep doing what you're doing, brother. Peace.
Appreciate the call, my man. You're so funny. I ain't mad at you. And hey, I'll tell you, man, if I got to call my barber, man. I got to call my dude Demo and see what's up. See if he's going to cut hair like you're doing with gloves and making sure it's the cleanest haircut ever. I'm telling you, I need a haircut bad, like in a major, major way. So keep doing your thing. Hold it down there in Cali, man. I know it's tough these days. And good looking out on that info. And as far as Mel Kiper Jr., I like how you did that as well. As far as his draft goes, it didn't really do anything special for me. You know, I really didn't, but I understand that he's been in the game a long time, and I understand that he talks to a lot of people, so a lot of the information that he's spitting back out, he's getting from other people that are, you know, associated with these teams or directly from these teams, and so I think that's why it serves as value to me, because, you know, even though I don't agree with the picks that he put in there at 12 and 19 for the Raiders, I understand where he's coming from and where he's actually getting his information from. So thank you so much for that, and like I said, hold it down in the 916. I appreciate you. Next up is a text. Yo, Q, grumpy-ass Mexican. Well, I've been listening to you for a while, sent in a few texts, but haven't made the cut. Won't bless you with my voice. I wouldn't want people craving to hear me later. LOL, just kidding, man. Well, first off the top of the dome, hope everyone is doing well and being safe with this crisis we're in. Anyway, Q, now that I'm back down to the lower 48 from Alaska, I'm catching up on the show. But what got me thinking, on one of the shows, you stated something about how deep the wide receiver class is in this draft and how we could get possibly a good wide receiver in the third. With that being said, do you think we should go after a cornerback, defensive end, linebacker, or safety with the first two picks? What does the rest of the nation think? Anyway, Q, keep doing what you're doing. Mucho respeto a la que haces. Aces. Haces. H-A-C-S. Wife, how do you say that? Haces?
Haces.
Haces. Like asses? Like fat asses? Okay, kinda. All right. Appreciate that, grumpy ass Mexican. That's cool. Sorry that I haven't got to your other text, but I appreciate you on that. And it's funny because I guess I kind of answered your question in segment number two when you're talking about what do I think that the Raiders should do with their first two picks. I definitely think they should get a wide receiver at 12. I think you should go get the most dynamic wide receiver, hands down. Just go get the guy that you think is going to change your offense in a whole nother way. What AB was going to do without being AB. Second, at number 19, I think you go and get that big time defensive back or DN or linebacker or safety, whatever you feel is the best fit on defense, because like I said in segment number two, you've got to find a way to shave off 7 points a game. You really do. If you can shave off 7 points a game, you're cooking with grease, you're in the playoffs in my opinion, and you got some big things coming. So that's really my answer right there. I think you go with the wide receiver at 12 and the best defensive player available that fits what you need to do at number 19. Thank you again for that. I appreciate you. All right, got one more call for today's show. Starting to run a little thin on time, and it's going to be from Sean from Salt Lake City. He's calling a response to Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft 3.0 and is really focused on the number 19 pick. Here he is, Sean from Salt Lake City.
Ooh-wee! Two Raider Nations, Sean from Salt Lake City. Just got to the 19th pick of Mel Kiper's draft. And boy, does that suck ass. I would not be happy with that. Wow. I'm like kind of speechless with it. Multiple reasons, because one, I just think it just, yeah, corner's a need, but right there at 12, unless Okudah falls, which he's not going to, I think is stupid. And then being stuck with T. Higgins, and I say stuck just because I don't think, I mean, Clemson has produced some pretty good receivers, so they have a good track record, so I can't say that, but I just don't feel like he's going to be anything. Maybe if we trade to the second for him for whatever reason, or he falls to the third, which he's not going to, then yes. But I don't see it. I don't like that. No, not at all. Maybe if he's a second receiver taken by us in the second round, sure. But, I don't know. I'm the dude that I want C.D. Lamb. I want him so bad. I don't care who we could draft. Like, kickers be punters the rest of the draft. But if we get C.D. Lamb at 12, I'm the happiest Raider fan you'll ever meet. I think he's going to be the next big thing. I think he's going to be exactly what the Raiders need. He's going to be what's going to help us in our in-between state between quarterbacks. I mean, unless Carr has an amazing year. If Carr just has a year he had last year, stat-wise, and CeeDee Lamb's a receiver, it's gonna make it easy to transition to another quarterback outside of Carr. Or he's going to help Carr just be the man. You know what I mean? Like, I just think Lamb is what we need, and I hope the Jets don't take it. I think that's what's going to hurt us. I'd even be okay if we traded the Browns to get above the Jets just to ensure that we take him. I hope that's what happens. Not the trend wise. I just mean we get Lamb. I don't know. Now I'm rambling. New Bay Raider Nation, pumped for this. That draft sucked. I'm ready for the rest of the podcast, though. So. Adios.
Thank you so much for that call, my man. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. And yeah, I mean, I respect T. Higgins. And that was who Mel Kiper picked at number 19 for the Raiders. I respect him, but I would be angry if the team had all those options at wide receiver. Again, most likely at number 12, they're going to have multiple options. Probably Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, or at least Henry Ruggs. One of those three will be available at number 12, in my opinion. I mean, even if number 8 goes, even at Arizona, if a wide receiver goes there, even if a wide receiver goes number 11 to the Jets, there's still one more wide receiver at number 12. At the worst case scenario, there's still one of the big three left at number 12. If they were to pass that up, outside of Isaiah Simmons or Jeffrey Okudah, those are the two exceptions. If they were to pass one of those wide receivers up for anyone besides those guys, and then they end up with T. Higgins at 19, yeah, I'd be angry. So I understand where you're coming from. But again, got to show respect to Mel Kiper Jr. because he's been doing it for so stinking long. So thank you so much for those calls, texts, tweets, all that good stuff. Sorry I didn't get to everybody. I got some more good stuff that I will get to on Monday. I got a text from a new booty, Bluegrass Raider from Kentucky. I also got a call from Border Jumper Raider. Got a call from Raider Con Man from Lubbock, Texas. Got a call from T3 Raider Facts. Got a couple more texts. I mean, I got all this stuff. I just can't squeeze it into one show. And since I didn't have calls on Thursday, it kind of backed me up a little bit. But we'll be back at it on Monday, Raider Nation. Please believe that. Enjoy your weekend. I got to go mow the lawn tomorrow because, well, it's that time of year again. So, I'll come up with something creative because, well, that's what I do. When I'm mowing the lawn, I come up with something creative. So until Monday's episode, Raider Nation, as always, keep doing what you're doing. Have a great weekend and just win, baby.